Back here. We are continuing on our going through talking about priorities and what the Bible has to say about priorities. And we look back again at our foundational verse for this, and it's Matthew 11:28. And again, it says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And this is just a tremendously encouraging verse to think that God, Jesus, is telling us that his yoke, his burden, if we take his yoke, if we follow his ways, our burden will be light and easy. But in all honesty, in the real world that I live in, and probably the one that you live in, because we live in the same one, the way of Jesus does not often feel like the easy yoke. I'd say, in fact, it feels like the difficult yoke, the heavy burden. And sometimes when you read the New Testament, there are points and things that Jesus says or other writers of the Bible say that make you feel like it's the greatest burden to bear. Jesus himself called it the narrow way. Scott Peck wrote a book, and it's a great, great title, "The Road Less Traveled." Often because it's the most difficult road to travel. And so there we look at this and okay, how does this work? And is this really true? And what Jesus is doing here, it's a very clever thing that he is doing, is he's using this and he's getting us to think, does that really work? Is what he's saying really going to happen in reality? Is this going to take place? And he's going to try and show us how, in comparison to every other yoke, in comparison to every other way of life, the way of Jesus is the easy way and the light way. Let me give an example. Forgiving somebody who has hurt you is really hard, isn't it? It's the hard way, isn't it? Let me say this. Not forgiving somebody that hurt you will destroy you. So what is the easy way and what is the hard way? Living in bitterness over those who have hurt you is the heaviest load you can bear. And that's really what Jesus is getting at. When we really look at any other way of doing things, living for self and eat, drink, and be merry appears to be the easy way, but in the long run, it will be the hardest way altogether. Today, as we go through priorities, I want to look at, so we're kind of, if you haven't been here, it's priorities, but really we're talking about how to live under this easy yoke. What it means to live under the easy yoke. And we're looking at priorities in that sense. And today we're going to look at the area of simplicity and how that relates to accomplishing our priorities. Jesus told a parable of the sower and the seeds, or that's what it's called, but it maybe is the parable of the soil. And it's a story of a man who sows seed, a farmer sows seeds, and there are four different types of soil that the seed falls on. The first one is not necessarily in order, but there's the good soil, the healthy soil. When the seed falls on that soil, it grows and bears fruit. There is then the soil that is filled with rocks, which does not bear fruit. There's the soil that is filled with thorns, which does not bear fruit. And there's the road, which doesn't even sprout. It's just taken away right away. And then in verse 18 of Mark 4, he talks about the one in the thorns. He says, "Others are the ones, other seed are the ones who sown among the thorns. They are those who hear the word, and they actually begin to grow in the parable. But he says worldly cares, the seductiveness of wealth, and desire for other things come in and choke the word, and it produces nothing, no fruit. This is the seed of where it's all this other stuff. It's all of this clutter in the lives of these folks choke out the word. And that seed is unable to produce fruit. And today we're going to talk about how clutter prevents us from living under the easy yoke and from accomplishing that which is most important in our lives. And the reality is we all have a lot of clutter. Simplicity is necessary to live a life that is centered on Jesus. Centered around Jesus. To live a life with Jesus at the core, we must remove clutter from our lives. I know that it's not easy to live in simplicity in our world. It's the farthest thing from most people's minds. Might say simplicity is not a simple task in today's world. Clutter is more than stuff. It's more than things. There are all kinds. It comes in many, many forms. It can come in activities. We can be cluttered with things to do. And let me say this. We can be cluttered with good things to do. Good things can choke out God's word. We can be cluttered in causes. Social media is a great place to be cluttered in causes. Just chokes out the accomplishment of what is important. We can be cluttered in ministries. Church can be one of the worst culprits in this. And we can just go emotionally cluttered, intellectually cluttered, recreation, entertainment. We can just go on and on. So many ways. In order to look at simplicity, I think first I want to throw out a few things that simplicity is not. First, and there's many things, but here's one. Simplicity is not escapism. It's not a nostalgic retreat to the past of some better time. That's not what we're talking about here. It's not, you know, driving in Amish country and say, oh, what a simple life. I would love to do that. It would be so much easier. I don't think so. I'm sure they have very difficult lives. Yes, it's a simple life. It's not easy. It wouldn't be easy for us. It's fine. It's what they've chosen, but we're not talking about having this nostalgic retreat to the past. There's a book out there called The Benedict Option. Have any of you heard of it? Probably not, but it's a Christian guy who's written this book, and what he's saying is our world has gotten so bad that there's really no way of changing it, and what Christians need to do is they need to kind of pull out, like Saint Benedict, who started the monastic movement, and he did it because things were so bad in the church, and the church and the world were one at the time because the Catholic Church, the popes were the kings of the world. They were the political rulers of the empire, and they had to pull themselves out to preserve Christianity for hundreds of years because the church itself was destroying Christianity. And I would say, you know, that's one option, but I'm not sure that's where God wants us. I think God wants us to be incarnational. Jesus came into the world, into the darkness, and dwelt among us. And I think, yes, our world is very dark, and I think God is calling us into the darkness, as Jesus would have done. Not to separate from it. Second, it's being living a simple life is not about being cheap or frugal. Okay, being cheap or frugal may be a good thing, but it has nothing to do. You can be both cheap and frugal and not live a simple life. Have the most complex life, cluttered life imaginable. There's nothing wrong with being frugal. That's not what we're talking about today. It's not about being a conservationist or environmentally friendly. Those are wonderful things, but that's not the goal of what we're talking about today. We speak of the simple life that Jesus would call us to. And we can go on and on. It's not about buying organic. Maybe great to buy and eat organic, but that's not really the simple life. One person wrote, and I forget who it was, but I will quote it. Simplicity, given a little metaphor here, is not a clock that needs to be turned back. It's a compass providing new direction as we move forward. I like that. Simplicity is not a clock that we need to turn back. It is a compass providing new direction as we move forward. Richard Foster, in his book, The Celebration of the Disciplines, wrote this. Simplicity as a discipline, Christian discipline. He said, simplicity is an inward reality that results in an outward lifestyle. It is not first about an outward lifestyle. It is first about an inward reality. Here's what Paul said. I am afraid that as the serpent, 2 Corinthians 11, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your minds will be led astray from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ. This goes right back to the very beginning of this series and centering our life around Jesus, what Paul's talking about. What Mary did in the Mary Martha story, when Jesus said, Mary has chosen the good part, when Mary sat at Jesus' feet, listening to his word, what she was doing was centering her entire life around the person of Jesus. I'm becoming a follower of Jesus. And Paul is saying the very same thing here. And what we suggest today, what Richard Foster suggests, I'm going to read from him, is that we cannot do that unless we learn how to simplify our lives. We cannot center our lives around Jesus unless we can begin removing the clutter. Let me read Richard Foster. He says, contemporary culture lacks both the inward reality and the outward lifestyle of simplicity. Because we lack this divine center, our need for security has led us into an insane attachment to things. We really must understand that the lust for affluence in contemporary society is psychotic. It is psychotic because it has completely lost touch with reality. We crave things we neither need nor enjoy. We buy things we do not want to impress people we do not like. It's good, isn't it? The mass media have convinced us that to be out of step with fashion is to be out of step with reality. It is time we awaken to the fact that conformity to a sick society is to be sick. I like that. Until we see how unbalanced our culture has become at this point, we will not be able to deal with the mammon spirit within ourselves, nor will we desire Christian simplicity. That's very well said. He says one last thing. He says, the modern hero is the poor boy who purposely becomes rich, rather than the rich boy who voluntarily becomes poor. And who is that? That's Jesus. He who is rich became poor that we might become rich through his poverty. What if there were more people taking that approach? It's not just, again, it's not about moving out and, you know, being a hermit. It is about becoming different for the sake and benefit of others. If we don't put in that so that they might become rich, then we've lost it. It's meaningless. It's about the benefit and the well-being, living our lives fully for the spiritual, physical, emotional, mental health and benefit of others. That's the simple life. Oh, that sounds like a lot of work. Well, the other way of doing it is going to be crushing. That's the only way of living that isn't crushing. In this little thing, we think of Eve, and she was tempted by the world, the flesh, and the devil, and the whole. And today, it's no different. The world, the flesh, and the devil are attempting us, trying to draw our attention and affections away from God. That's the goal of all around us, to draw our attention and affections away from God. And it's very crafty at it. Very crafty. Very subtle. Often Eve, it was the tree was a good tree. The fruit was beautiful, it was good to eat. But it was a no. So often, I think it's the good things that get us distracted. Jesus addressed those caught up in the rat race and complexity of his world and the stress of life in his world in Matthew 6. And he says this to all of those who are in that, are stressed out by making life work. Verse 31 of Matthew 6, he says, "So then, don't worry saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? For the unconverted pursue these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But above all, pursue his kingdom and righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." The simple life, living simplicity means orienting our lives around God and his kingdom. That's what we're talking about. Not simply an outward lifestyle. It's orienting our entire lives around God and his kingdom, not stuff. Jesus says if you orient your life around God and his kingdom, the stuff will take care of itself. However it takes care of itself, it will take care of itself. But our lives must be oriented on God. Centered on God and his kingdom. That makes it much simpler. We don't have to think, what can I have or not have and have a simple life? That's not the issue. How big can my house be or not be and have a simple life? That's not the issue. Do I have a new car or a junker? That's not the issue. The issue is everything I do centered around God and his kingdom. Are my decisions centered around God and his kingdom? Simplicity, and then he goes on, he says, "So then do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Today has enough trouble of its own." This is really hard for us in our world of news media that's constantly blasting us with what can go wrong tomorrow. And all that's about to go wrong. To focus on the here and now. And what Jesus is saying is not that, okay, there's important things going on, but us being all concerned about that, whether North Korea is going to test another missile or whatever, I mean, it's obviously there's people who need to be involved in that, but it prevents us from living well now, in the moment, with those God has placed us in front of. And that is what he's saying needs to be our focus. Living well now, right here, the people God has given us to live well with. Proverbs 30, verse 8 is a great biblical description of the simple life. It says this, "Keep deception and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is my portion, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be in wanton steal and profane the name of my God." He eliminates both extremes and he focuses in on living a life of trust before God. The simple life is the life that allows us to live and walk in trust in God. I think that simplicity is in a head-on collision with our consumer culture. I think it's just bang. That's why it is so hard to do it today. What I'd like to do as we round this off here is look at just some practical things now. It's kind of a biblical one. The first one is money. Money and things, money and materialism. Here's what Hebrews 13:5 says, "Let your character be free from the love of money, being content with what you have. For he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you." It's not about how much money you make or have. It's really clear. Money is not the root of all evil, as some people say. The Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. The key is contentment. The love of money and always wanting more will destroy you. It has to. That's what it does. That's its nature. Its power is to destroy. That doesn't mean it's wrong to be rich. Paul speaks to the rich Christians in Timothy. We're going to look at Timothy after this series. And he doesn't say, you bad people. Some like to do that. But what he says, if you are rich, gives them two instructions. Don't trust it. Don't put your hope in it. Don't believe in it. Don't put your heart there, because then you won't serve God. Jesus said you cannot serve God in money. Where is your service going? Where's your heart? What's your life centered around? And then he says the second instruction is be generous and give. Give and lend. If a person is rich, that should be the focus of their life. There are some people who are able to make lots of money. That's okay. God has placed those people in his kingdom. God wants those people in his kingdom. But he instructs them to be generous and give with what he has given them. And we need to learn how to be givers in all areas, whether it's money or whatever. As a pastor, you go into people's studies at times, meet with other pastors, and I used to have library envy. I love books, you know, when I was younger and you go into the older guys, pastors study in the library envy. Well, let me say this, that over the years, we have a room with my library at home, and the door must remain shut at all times. If you come to our house, you can never see inside that room because it is my library, and it is a mess. And there are books everywhere in that library, and now I'm the one who people have library envy for. I have reached and attained my ultimate goal in life. But, that was the funny part. I love lending my books out. And I have pastors all around who call me and I ship them out. I like getting them back if I ever lend you one. Because that often doesn't happen. But I just love doing it. And for me, it's so encouraging when a pastor calls and says, "Hey, do you have, oh yeah, I got that one." Because I am rich in books. So I'm told to be generous and to give and to lend. The next practical area is the area of activity and busyness. We have so many options. So many things to do. And there's so much pressure. It's funny, there's pressure to do them all, isn't there? whether it's at work or raising a family. There's pressure to do everything. Or in church. Church may be the worst culprit in this. There's so much pressure to do everything. Do you know Cindy is a teacher? And there is pressure in the educational world to no longer give homework. And the pressure is coming from parents. And the reason the pressure is coming from parents is because their kids are in so much stuff that they come home from school and they go to the next thing and the next thing and the next thing. And there is simply no time for even 20 minutes of homework a night with mom and dad. Which could be a good thing to sit down with mom and dad and do a little reading. Just saying. Third thing, I think this is the third, I don't know. Connectivity. Connectivity are in many, many ways. Whether it's our connectivity to news, our connectivity to social media, our connectivity on the internet, to entertainment, is just putting so much pressure on our lives. And we talked about that a little few weeks ago. But we need to learn how to disconnect. We must learn to. It's okay to be on social media. It's okay to watch news. But we must minimize it as much as we can and disconnect so we can center our lives around God. Another area would be the area of addiction. And what's critical in simplicity is to guard against and avoid anything that you might get addicted to. Anything. Because it will destroy us, the simple life with our lives centered around God. Another thing would be, and I don't know what number we're on now, but never live for status or applause. It will destroy your life being centered around God. It will ruin the life under the easy yoke. Aggressively eliminate our need for recognition. Aggressively eliminate your need for recognition. We need to. Jesus' little metaphor about when you come to dinner, don't sit in the important seat. Never be the most important person in the room or in the conversation. Never. That's hard. Because we want to be the most important person in the room or in the conversation. And Jesus said, don't do that. Choose to be the least important person in the room in the conversation. And then if you are the most important person in the room, well, that'll be made known. Do not boast or exaggerate. That will complicate your life and fill it with clutter. Because when you boast or exaggerate, then you need to back it up. And it just complicates things. Learn to enjoy things without owning and possessing them. I gave a two-week series in the summer on this, and that is learning how to experience and come to know God in creation, making that a part of your experience of God, because that's always free, and it's always there. Reject anything that breeds the oppression of others. Reject anything that breeds the oppression of others. And then finally, and I think for our culture, this seems like it doesn't fit, but I think it may be most important of all because I think so much of our stress and anxiety comes from this. And that is this. Learn to love your enemies. Learn how to love your enemies. I think that may be the one thing that removes the most stress in our lives. I think our fear, anxiety, and hatred of those we view as our enemies, whatever they are, causes the greatest weight and burden upon us. And that's all enemies. We all have people we view as enemies. They may be racial, cultural, political, socioeconomical, certain groups, certain ideologies. And the hatred of those just bears this enormous weight upon our souls. Jesus said, love your enemies. If there's people who think, well, it's those people. Well, here's your job. Love them and bless them and pray for them. Jesus made it really clear. We cannot walk away from that. Nothing could be more clear in the Bible than that simple instruction to all. Let's pray. Lord, I ask you to, I realize some of this may be really hard to do. I have a hard time living, we all do in this world, living a simple life, a life centered around God. I ask you to help us. We're not perfect. We're a long way from perfect at this. All of us, but please help us. We make ourselves available to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. sorry we abandoned you.
It's either peace or stone. You're switching off. So I have both of them.
This is so amazing.